Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 10th of February, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad you're with me. Also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here, too. Now, Dave, I'd like to start with you. And we're going to do some tips for folks today. And you have a particular one about iCloud.
I do. I love finding out new things and learning new things. And this was all new to me, where I recently learned that there are things you can do to the file names of things in your iCloud Drive folders, so desktop, documents, those types of things that get synced. There are names naming things that you can do that will keep those files from becoming synced. And I have no idea that not everything was synced in there, but as soon as I dug into this, I realized, of course, not everything is synced. If you've ever looked at some of the hidden files that exist in most folders, you might have seen, you know, things that are called like .ds underscore store, easy to say 10 times fast. And, you know, those kind of files that control the layout or describe the layout. Yeah. Those kinds of things aren't synced and shouldn't be synced. Well, there's more to it than that. Any files whose names start with parentheses, a document being saved, right? Which is the way that many of Apple's apps will save things that are in process. So it's not trying to sync while it's saving. It won't sync folders named Dropbox or iPhoto Library or Photos Library because, well, they might be already synced to iCloud or somewhere else. Dropbox could be a real disaster if both Dropbox and iCloud Drive were trying to sync the same folder, because they could get into just a perpetual loop there. But there are some things that we can do. If you add .tmp to the end of your file name, it will not sync that. Similarly, if you add .nosync, so all one word lowercase, .nosync, it will not sync that either. Right? And of course, yeah, that I had no idea about. Like, these other ones make sense that if Apple hadn't put them in there. Well, my guess is that at some point early on, Apple did not put them in there and then, you know, notice these problems. So a lot of these are very much telltale signs of iterative design. Right?
Sure.
Which is great. Yeah.
But, dot no sync. Like, that's no fantastic.
That's a little bit more intentional. That's right. Yup.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm guessing some iCloud engineer just decided, oh, I need to be able to tell it, never sync this folder. How am I going to do that? Well, I know how I'm going to do that. I'm going to code it so that it doesn't.
Give me a minute and I'll figure it out.
Give me a minute. Yep. So Microsoft user data is a folder which will not sync. And anything like .photos library, .photo library, .ap library, which I'm sure is Aperture library, those types of things won't sync. So just bear those in mind. And there's an article, Howard Oakley over at the Eclectic Light Company is both brilliant and articulate. So he's got a fantastic article that makes it really easy to see all of the things that he has found and that his audience has found. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you definitely want to know what Howard Oakley has to say about it. So I'm fascinated by these syncing tips. Someday I'm sure I'll get up the nerve to sync files to iCloud and not just, you know, contacts. And when I do, that will come in handy. Andrew, you had another tip that was also for managing data in iCloud, right? With folders?
Yeah. So this tool is called iCloud Control. I wrote an article about it. You can find it on GitHub. And it's for the Mac. It just gives you a little bit more manual control over iCloud syncing. This is a little bit different than what Dave was talking about. So there are three things you can do with it. One action is called remove selected item locally. So that means you click on it. It's this tool that it hooks right into the Finder. So you can add it to the Finder toolbar. And so you select a folder, you use the tool, and then it will be removed locally from your device, but stay in iCloud.
Okay.
And then you can also do the opposite, which is if, like, I think Apple, when I wrote this up, this was a couple years ago, so maybe it's different now than when I wrote it up, but Apple has a tool, well, it's not really a tool, it's just a feature of macOS where you'll see in the iCloud folder, if a folder isn't downloaded, there will be a tiny little download button, which mm-hmm. just lets you, you know, click on that and it will download all the contents of the folder all at once. Another action for this tool lets you do the same thing. It's called download selected item, which is, you know, what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And that is still in macOS, Andrew. The trick is if you go into System Preferences iCloud or System Preferences Apple ID iCloud, the checkbox for optimize Mac storage is the thing that controls everything is downloaded or only the things Apple decides are downloaded. And if you've got it optimized, then this cloud control thing. This is awesome. I never knew about this tool. This is great. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure you knew. It's very relevant still. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that reminds me of why I downloaded this in the first place, because I was annoyed where I would maybe upload a big file on one of my older devices, and I open up my Mac, and if you have the documents and desktop syncing feature, it would just start automatically downloading this big file in the background. Well, I didn't really necessarily want that. And so this tool lets you just stop that download right as it's starting. And then finally, just the third action this does is, this is also another built-in feature, but with this one, you can select a file and then have the public iCloud sharing link automatically get put in your clipboard for you to paste later.
Oh, now that's clever.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely sounds like something that would be unbelievably useful.
Yeah. And so I have my tip that I wrote up right in front of me, and I did say on macOS Sierra and later, that download cloud icon provides that same functionality. So maybe I was right and that wasn't always in there.
Mm. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So lots of iCloud, and like we could do a whole week of shows on iCloud tips and storage, and every one of us would bring stuff and one of the other people would go, I had no idea until this moment. Because that's the magic of iCloud. So before we move on, we have another couple of tips for you, but I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is She's Birdie. And Birdie is a personal safety alarm, and it's meant to be really easy to carry and really easy to use. So to activate it, it's got a quick pull. I have one, and it's like a pin you pull out of the top of it, and immediately you get treated to a 130 decibel alarm and a flashing strobe light. It's very, very loud and it's super bright. And unlike pepper spray or other things like that maybe you could carry around, like if you try to use this, then it's not going to come back and affect you badly. You can use it very easily. Like I said, just give it a good yank. It comes in a lot of colors, and all the colors were actually pretty nice. And it's got a keychain, so you can clip it to your keys or clip it to your bag and have it with you all the time. It's small and very easy to hold, and it's very easy to use, like I said before. And right now, you can get 15% off your first purchase if you go to shesbirdie.com/TDO. That's shesbirdie.com/TDO for 15% off your first purchase. shesbirdie.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank She's Birdie for sponsoring the show today. Now, Dave, you had another tip for us about Time Machine. And I'm very curious about this one.
My tale of woe can be everyone's, everyone else can benefit from my tale of woe, including me, quite frankly. Last week when 11.2 came out, I let my laptop, my M1 Air, update to the latest Mac OS.
Uh-huh.
And I did it while I was sitting on the couch at night. You know, we were watching TV. I grabbed my computer. I'm like, oh, this would be a great time. And we'll let it go through and all that stuff. Came back up and it was running 11.3 beta. And I'm like, you know, I removed the beta profile from this months ago. Why is it still insisting on downloading the beta? Now, I still haven't answered that particular question. And I was lamenting about this on the Mac Geek Yeah, because for me, at least, Safari in the 11.3 beta is non-functional. Most web pages won't load it. Like, I mean, it's beta software, so no great surprise that there's, you know, bugs and quirks and, you know, things like that.
It's a beta. But that's what it does. Yeah.
And I didn't want it on my computer. And so I was talking about this with John F. Braun on Mac Geek Yab this week, number 856. And he said, well, what about Time Machine snapshots? Because I couldn't roll, you know, you can't install 11.2 on top of 11.3. Mac OS won't let you do that. So you'd have to wipe the drive and go back. And John's like, what about Time Machine snapshots? And I thought, oh, my goodness. Now, by the time we finished with Mac Geek Gab, my Time Machine snapshot from Tuesday or whatever day it was that Time Machine automatically takes before you do or when you do a software update was gone. And that's unfortunate for me. So I did have to start from scratch on this particular computer. However, if I had thought about it in the moment, and if it had been top of mind, the moment I realized, wait, I just booted up into 11.3. This sucks. How do I roll back? I could have done it entirely on that computer without having to mess with anything. So Time Machine, or APFS, the file system that we now use, has the ability to do what's called snapshots, which are basically, it takes a, it says, take a clone of this state of the drive. Now, it doesn't actually take up any space right then. It just says, basically, log any changes as we go forward. And if I tell you to roll back to this point in time, unroll all of those changes. So it starts actually using space when you put new things on the drive because it's keeping the old copies. With that's essentially what snapshots are. It gets a little bit different when we're talking about operating system updates, because really what it does is it takes your system partition or your system volume and stuffs it away and makes a new system volume and calls the old one a snapshot. That's right. But effectively it's treated the same way, so that you have these abilities to quickly roll back because the data is all literally still right there. Now, to roll back to a boot or update snapshot, if your update fails, or like me, you did the wrong update, the best way to do it is to launch into recovery mode. I say best way. This might be the only way, but I'm sure there's others. But certainly the best way for most of us, launch into recovery mode, go into Time Machine and say restore from a Time Machine backup. And instead of clicking on your Time Machine backup drive or your network storage drive or your time capsule or, you know, whatever you store your Time Machine backups on, click on your local drive and it will show you the snapshots that are stored on that local drive. Now, you're going to see two local drives, because one is your system drive and then one is your system drive or your drive name dash data, which is your data drive. In my case, I would have wanted to go to the system drive and restore that. As I said, it was gone. But had I done this in time, had Mac Geek Gab been on, say, Thursday instead of Sunday, I would not have had this problem. So yeah, Time Machine, this is how it goes. You can take a look at this. In fact, you can even manually create snapshots if you want. At the terminal, you can do, and OWC has a great article about this, which we'll share, but tmutil is the utility that you do at the terminal. And you can just say tmutil space local snapshot, and it'll create a local snapshot. And then if you want to see them, you can say tmutil list local snapshots, and it'll show them to you. Or use Carbon Copy Cloner, because Carbon Copy Cloner shows you all of your snapshots, the size of them, when they were made, and it's a much nicer interface for snapshots. To my knowledge, that's the only graphical snapshot interface that you get, other than Time Machine in restore mode. So
I think that's all I know as well. We will definitely have links in the show notes for this stuff, because it's always a good reminder. And even if you don't recollect 100% remembering, like, I read that. It was in, you know, it was over on Daily Observations. We can help you out with that.
Yeah.
So,
no, and I wish I had that. That's all I needed. It was like knowing that it was possible.
Yeah.
Is all I needed to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one last tip for you, Andrew. You have one you're going to share with us quickly. That's Charlotte. Something Charlotte wrote up that she discovered about saving web pages on your phone.
Yeah, so this is one of those tips where, or one of those features where it's been around for a little bit now, but some people are just discovering it, and then some people like me knew about it and just completely forgot.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of different ways to export a web page as a PDF. Mm-hmm. One way is exporting it as a full page PDF. Those aren't really great when you're trying to read them on an iPhone, though. In those PDFs, the text isn't reflowable. So you kind of have to, you know, turn your phone into landscape mode and zoom in and out to try to read the text.
Yeah.
Or you can use this method that Charlotte found. And it's when you, let's see, on newer devices, you press the power button, and I think it's the volume up button
to take a screenshot. Yeah.
And this is when you're in a browser and you're reading a web page. So once you take that screenshot, there will be a screenshot edit button. Mm-hmm. And you'll also see a button that lets you take a full page screenshot and export it as a PDF to, you know, the Files app or another app. And this is better than a full page PDF for a mobile device, because just like the web page, this PDF is more vertically oriented. So you just scroll it like you would that web page, and you don't have to really zoom in and out that much.
Okay. Interesting. As soon as Charlotte put this together, and we had a moment and we were sort of talking about it off air, I noticed up at the top that it said full page, and I hadn't even seen that before. So I think it might have been a recent addition. I don't know. But I was very glad to find it, because I have had to do, I think I have two or three apps installed right now on my phone to make sure that I can stitch together all the screenshots to turn it into something I can actually use later for stuff like that. So knowing I can now do it just as part of the operating system was awesome. So that's going to do it for us today. If you have tips you want to remind us about that could possibly, you know, save bacon in the future, we're always here for that. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or with comments in the show notes. Dave, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Andrew, as always, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.